Hello, sunshine. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Enjoying our time here in Detroit, Michigan. The statue you see behind me is called the Spirit of Detroit. In 1955, Marshall Fredericks was commissioned to create this monument, a man holding a family and a golden orb. The bronze was cast in Oslo, Norway, making it all the way here, where it represents hope and progress for Detroit to this day, currently wearing a Lions jersey, honoring the football team's inspiring run. Now for our lead story of the day. As LL Cool J would say, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. Cursive handwriting. It's a style of writing a lot of schools in the U.S. don't teach anymore. In 2010, it was left out of the National Common Core Education Standards, which are a set of learning goals that help teachers prepare students for college and future careers. Cursive appears to be making a comeback, though. Just this month, California required students in grades 1 through 6 to learn the writing style. It is the 23rd state to currently mandate that cursive handwriting be taught in schools. And it's the 10th state to do so since 2016, according to the website mycursive.com. There are 5 additional states considering similar laws. Now, in an age of computer programming and digital communication, why is this classic writing style making a return? Well, educators in favor of teaching it say it helps reading comprehension, fine motor skills, and allows students to read historical documents in their original form. We turn now to China, where a crumbling company's empire saga is now complete. Real estate developer Evergrande has the biggest debt of any other competitor in the world. It became a symbol of China's property crisis after it defaulted on its debt in 2021. That means the company officially declared it was unable to pay back the money it owed, over $333 billion to be precise. And now a court in Hong Kong has ordered the company to liquidate or sell everything it owns. Over the past few years, what was happening with Evergrande had an impact on China's domestic and international stock markets. For more, here's our very own Christy Lou Stout.
Evergrande, the world's most indebted developer, is heading to liquidation. On Monday, a judge here in Hong Kong ruled to liquidate the Chinese company after years of failed attempts to restructure it. A Hong Kong judge, Linda Chan, said, quote, "It is time for the court to say enough is enough." Before the hearing, Evergrande shares are trading down as much as 20%. Trading was halted in China Evergrande and its listed subsidiaries. For years now, Evergrande has been the poster child of China's property debt crisis. It is the world's most indebted property developer with more than $328 billion of liabilities and $240 billion of assets. And last year, in September, its founder and chairman, Xu Jiaying, was suspected of crimes and detained by the police. Analysts say that the decision to liquidate this company is good news for China's economy in the long run, but it will be painful. Now, according to Andrew Collier of Orient Capital Research, he says this, quote, "Evergrande's liquidation is a sign that China is willing to go to extreme ends to quell the property bubble. This is good for the economy in the long term, but very difficult in the short term," unquote. Now, Gary Ng, senior economist of Natixis, adds this, "It is not an end, but the beginning of the prolonged process of liquidation, which will make Evergrande's daily operations even harder. Investors will be concerned about whether there will be a snowball effect on other developers as the queue to liquidation is long," unquote. Now, in 2021, Evergrande triggered a market panic when it couldn't make its debt payments, and China's real estate market has yet to recover. Now, it accounts for as much as 30% of the country's economic activity, and more than two-thirds of Chinese household wealth is tied up in real estate.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Which of these famous paintings became a household name after it was stolen from the Louvre in the early 1900s? Van Gogh's The Starry Night, Vermeer's Girl with a Pearl Earring, Botticelli's The Birth of Venus, or Da Vinci's Mona Lisa? Mona Lisa, ding ding, an Italian handyman stole it from the French Museum in 1911. Newspapers around the world published pictures of it, and a two-year police hunt for the now famous painting ensued. Question for you, what's more important, art or the right to eat healthy, sustainable food? That's a question environmental activists in Paris posed after they threw pumpkin soup at the Mona Lisa, one of the most famous paintings in the world. Here's CNN's Michael Holmes with more details on what happened at the Louvre Museum and the method some folks use to bring attention to a cause.
Oh. The crowd gasps as two activists throw soup at one of the most famous works of art in the world. But it would be the Mona Lisa, painted by Leonardo da Vinci in the 16th century, who would have the last laugh. Her mysterious smile, untouched by the stunt,
we need to close the room, sir.
Safe behind a shield of protective armored glass, as security ushered people out of the room, the vandals obscured behind barriers. Their protest for healthy and sustainable food, leaving a bad taste in the mouths of many visitors.
It's disgusting to treat art that's really valuable for the history of humankind that way.
Museums around the world are on guard after a series of similar attacks on famous works of art, whether it's throwing soup at a Van Gogh, smearing paint on the casing of the Degas sculpture, or hurling oil at a painting by Gustav Klimt. It's all for shock value, a tactic used by climate or anti-oil groups to get attention. But to many people, it's a baffling, if not infuriating, disruption.
I really don't see the link. I'm not shocked for the Mona Lisa. I'm not worried for her because she's ultra protected. But then I don't see the link with food, other than the fact that the Mona Lisa is internationally recognized. So we'll definitely hear about this.
The Mona Lisa has survived the centuries. It's been stolen, attacked with acid, had objects thrown at it. So a dousing of soup and a canned message by activists only puts the spotlight back on it. A masterclass in capturing the public's attention, something with which no gimmick or cheap trick can compare.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Edible fungus? Expensive fungus. Truffles, the culinary delicacy that grows underground, can cost thousands of dollars per pound. They need perfect conditions to grow and sleuthy detective-like methods to procure them. Let's join CNN's Richard Quest, who's on a quest to forage for truffles in Puglia, a region known as the breadbasket of Italy.
The hunt is on.
And they're off.
The dogs have got the scent. There are truffles to be found.
We have dogs, we have wicked-looking implements, just now they've found truffles.
I'm in a forest in southern Italy. The forest location is sort of a secret, and it's raining.
Cerca, Willy, cerca. A pallina, dai calare.
How do you train them?
Dilli che questa è una domanda che non si fa.
This is a question you don't ask.
Oh.
Giuseppe Lulli guards his secrets.
Bravo, Rocky, bravo. Rocky is the boss.
But I thought truffle hunting used pigs.
No, dogs. Pigs mangia il tartufo.
Yes, you have the pigs eat them. They find them and eat them.
Bravo, Rocky, bravo.
Before I can even gather myself, the dogs have sniffed out a target.
Oh, stop it. Ow. Oh, you should look at your pants. That'll teach you to wear beige pants.
You have to be prepared to get messy if you want to find these jewels. Truffles are essentially underground mushrooms.
Tuber estivum.
And look, he knows he's getting a prize, and there he is. He's got a truffle, isn't it?
You look so proud, it's like you almost dug it up yourself, but it definitely wasn't you that did it.
That all happened so fast. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're off again. Oh!
Bravo, bravo.
A ripened truffle gives off a distinct scent that the dogs can track.
Just to see the excitement of the dogs and the whole business of it, just there.
Bravo, Willy, bravo.
Yeah, look at that. I'm falling even more in love with truffles. Now I see what you have to do to find them.
Oh, yeah.
Just such amazing fun. Two for me, one for you.
All right, all my fun guy and fun gals. Tomorrow's hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Drop your unique vocabulary word in the comment section on my most recent post, along with your school and teacher's name. Let's see if your word helps us write tomorrow's show and boosts our vocabulary. Shout out time now. This shout out goes to Lockport Township High School in Lockport, Illinois. Keep shining, lovely people. Much love, many blessings to you. We appreciate each and every one of you. We're going to see you tomorrow right here on CNN 10.